Hello and welcome to Death of a Clown podcast, the podcast that relives and revives comics lowest of the low. My name is Peter McColl and on Death of a Clown today, globe-trotting Northern Ireland juggernaut and stand-up god, Mr. Martin Moore. So this is Death of a Clown, the podcast that readdresses the deaths of some of the best and brightest UK stand-up comedians. My guest today is Martin Moore. I met Martin just before he was going off to a weekend gig at Liverpool Slaughterhouse. I've been a big fan of Martin for many years, ever since I started doing stand-up comedy, and I've admired him from afar, up close, and in the green room as well. He's a great man, and I hope you enjoy it. Please, give it up for Mr. Martin Moore. Mr. Martin Moore now, so hello Martin, are you okay?
Yes, I'm very well, how are you doing?
I'm very good, very good. If you notice a little bit of background noise, I've just nabbed Martin before he's off doing a weekend gig at the Laughter House in Liverpool, so we'll try and keep this as short as possible.
Here comes the coffees
and
now.
The coffees and the water.
Perfect timing.
Oh, worry.
Thanks, man. Spot on. I don't need any of that. Don't need milk or sugar. Thanks, brother.
Oh, cheers, mate. Thank you very much. So,
it's very lively.
Yeah, it's very lively. So, Martin, for people who don't know much about comedy, I've been a big fan of yourself. I think the first time I met you was a silky gig up in Leeds.
Right.
And you terrified the life out of me by giving me the heebie-jeebies before Silky brought me on. So that's a vision that I've always had. So how long have you been a stand-up comedian, or how long have you been doing stand-up?
Well, this is actually, this year, yeah. I think it's 31 years as a professional performer.
Wow.
By that, I count it from when I started paying tax, from when I started making enough to do it for a living.
Yeah.
And then, because I was a circus act first,
yeah.
And then of that 31 years, I reckon it must be about 22 years doing stand-up.
Wow.
And there was a year there when I did stand-up and circus, but and then I just started doing the stand-up and I do that all the time, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So you must have seen pretty much everything on the scene.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you don't even, once you've been knocking around a while, you don't notice anything anymore unless it's really unusual, unless yeah. It's a really unusual thing. So somebody goes, I was at a gig the other night and a guy on a stag night dressed as a giant rabbit tried to get on stage, and you go, yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah. Come up with something original you have. So basically Martin's been going around for many years, he's seen it all, so I'm going to ask you straight off the bat, Martin, what can you imagine, what's the worst death that you've actually ever, you can either witness it or been part of it or just been in the room with it?
Well, I had not exactly a death, because I think that whether it's a death or not depends on how the act responds to it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So
agree.
People can do really, really badly and still come off having won.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm thinking of people like Phil Kay,
yes.
You know, who yeah. really improvises, and sometimes the audience hate him and he's just done, it makes him be a genius, it makes him do amazing stuff. So I think the death aspect, it depends how you respond to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And my whole thing is never blink and never take a step backwards. So I'm never going to let them make me have a death. So I'm always going to try and be on top of them. But I was doing the Hong Kong Comedy Festival this year.
Right.
And while I was in Hong Kong, 2 days before St. Patrick's Day on the 17th, so on the 15th, the organizer of the festival said to me, will you come and do a corporate? And I went, no, I don't want to do it. And they said, look, it'll be really great if you can do it. It's the St. Patrick's Society. There's going to be 600 people. And I went, no, I don't want to do that. And they went, look, will you do it as a favour to us? And I said, what's the money? Now, I won't talk about what the money was, but where the number that it should have been in thousands for yeah. a gig like that, it was that amount of money in hundreds. But the festival organiser asked me to do it as a favour to him and the festival. They'd been very good to me. It was really last minute I went to do it. Everyone, 600 people, they're all in tuxedos or kilts, or they're all formal dress. I didn't have any formal dress with me, so I'm wearing smartish trousers and a check shirt. I go on, 600 of them, just before I go on, the organiser of the actual night, like the stage manager guy, goes, they haven't listened to anybody the whole night. They haven't listened to anybody at all. I go, well, I'll do my best. I go on, there's literally a 30-metre gap between me and the front row. They're all at huge tables of like 25 people round each table.
Circle tables as well.
Oh, terrible. We know it, yeah. So I start, and for about 10 minutes, I have their attention. I have them laughing, and then suddenly I start to notice the mood change, and one by one, everybody's turning away. Even my favourite people in the audience that were smiling and really laughing, one by one, they're all turning away. And I said to the audience, "What's happened now?" And somebody shouted out, "Or pudding has just been delivered to the tables. They just served pudding." And so I said, "Well, what are you having for pudding?" And almost as one, 600 people shouted out, "It's chocolate dessert," or whatever it was. And I just went, "I don't think I can compete with that. Enjoy your desserts. I've been Martin Moore. Thank you very much." And there was a cheer that was instantly muffled by people putting spoons in their mouths.
So even though they've set you up, even at this unique event, even dessert outbids comedy.
You can't beat chocolate pudding, can you? You can't beat that.
No, I'll be honest, you can't really knock that. So as a comic, you've been going for a number of years. Can you remember one gig in particular you turned up and you just didn't like the look of it? Like you say, you don't really back away from it. I have a sort of mind frame that it's a bit like the Alamo. If you're at a gig and you just think everything's against me, just go out and just do it.
Well, I'm very much that. You know, when you're at a gig, and it's nearly always, isn't it, that it's been set up wrong. That's always what's wrong.
Like the 30-metre line between you and the...
Yeah, stage. Or the mic isn't very good, or the lights aren't set up right, or sometimes there are no lights and you're just doing it with the pub lights or something.
Yeah.
And even though stand-up, we require so little stuff, it's amazing how wrong people can get that. Or you turn up and it's in the corner of a pub or something and there's no stage and the audience didn't know you were coming. So suddenly there's just a bloke shouting in the corner or something. But I always think when you're there, and other acts often whinge, don't they, about, this is wrong. And I always just go, well, what are we going to do anyway? We're not going home now. You can't go home. You have to go and do it.
Yeah,
you might as well try and make it happen. And I think those ones, but for me, but if I go on at a really nice gig, like one of the stand clubs, if I go on at the stand and rip it, or the glee clubs is a good example. You go on the glee club, close the show, you get an encore, you're not surprised and they're not, the gig aren't surprised. For me, I quite like those, perversely, I like those rough gigs because you go on and nobody thinks you're going to be able to do 5 minutes at all. All the other acts think it's so against you, you're not going to be able to do it. Rip one of those and get an encore. That's a real encore then.
So throughout your stand-up career, you've obviously started off as open spot. You went from middles, you went to openers, you went to headline, you've emceed. Out of all of those spots, which would you say is the most difficult spot to do? Obviously, depending on the club and depending on...
It really depends because I still do all of those spots because I often will do double-ups. Yeah. So it's not surprising for me to be, maybe I'm here in Liverpool and I go first and then I'll drive somewhere else, Warrington, Manchester, somewhere that's not too far and close the show. And in fact, here in this in the northwest of England, I've done a triple up where I did three cities and I think I did something like St. Helens, Liverpool, Manchester, where I was first, middle, closer in one night.
Jesus.
Because the distances are so...
Yeah, you're talking about 20-odd miles here and there, aren't you?
Yeah. And, like, here, when there was the Laugh Inn in Chester, I never went to Chester without doing a gig in Liverpool or the other way around.
Right, yeah.
So you could always do two. But with those spots, the hardest spot of all, and it's the one that hardly anybody has done, like in the whole world hardly anybody's done, is... closing the show at the big clubs like Jonglers or Glee Clubs or Highlights Clubs, closing those shows the week before Christmas, that's an area of the entertainment business that very few people have ever been. That's the extreme end, isn't it? Because by the time a Christmas party gets their dinner and everything, so inevitably it's going to be late. I'd say there's more people have been up Everest than have closed those big shows.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, that's true, isn't it?
Probably.
It's the absolute extreme edge of entertainment.
Yeah.
And the people that can stand there and do that, that's a very specific skill. But again, I really like that. Like, I wouldn't want to do that every week. But those rough Christmas ones, I love the challenge of that. And because it's usually only, you know, one or two once a year that are like that.
Yeah.
If you had it every week, I don't think it would be so good.
So, obviously, because we'll start with when you were starting out, was there anyone who was sort of like your band of brothers that you had that sort of clicked with? Was there anyone that, you know, that you still see on the circuit?
Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of people who start in a circuit don't always end up on the circuit still.
But yeah.
You go into different elements. Or...
Yeah, there totally is. I knew Dave Gorman from before he was a stand-up and before I was a stand-up, because he used to be, Dave Gorman and Henry Normal used to be performance poets, like sort of comedy poets, a bit like John Hegley, a bit like that sort of style. And Dave came along to a juggling club that I used to go to. I was a circus act. And me and him hit it off straight away and knew each other from then. And in fact, it was Dave Gorman that told me that there was a comedy club, a new comedy club had opened in Manchester. I had a broken ankle at the time. I met him in Manchester. I was on crutches. And he said, oh, you should go and see this comedy club. I rang the comedy club, which was the Little Frog and Bucket, which is, you'll know it.
Yeah.
It's moved to a bigger venue now. The guy that was the manager knew me from my circus stuff. So the first time I walked into a comedy club, I was the closing act.
Jesus.
Because he just gave me paid work because he had already seen my show as a... So it was a circus act that I did. It wasn't stand-up. But, yeah, that was my first experience of comedy, of a comedy club, was to be on stage as the closer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What? How did it feel doing that? But obviously, because would you say circus and stand-up sort of go hand-in-hand? Or?
Yeah, it was fine. It was. I'd done lots and lots of cabaret. I've done loads of cabarets. So all it was just like a cabaret night, but... A cabaret night would only have ever had a funny compere or one comedian. It would never have had that many, you know, never have everybody else. I was the odd one out, wasn't I? Everyone else was stand-ups. Whereas on a normal cabaret night, it would all be special acts and singers, and there'd only be one stand-up. So that was the main difference.
Yeah, fabulous. Right, well, that's been absolutely excellent, Martin. Thanks very much for being on this podcast.
Hi, you're welcome.
So that was Martin Moore. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much, Martin, for being part of the Death of the Clown podcast, first edition. If you'd like to hear more from Martin, you can see him live at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year. He's doing two shows. The first show is Martin Big Pig Moore, Funny Stuff for Happy People, and that is at 11 a.m, and that is at the Stand in the Square, venue 372. Alternatively, if you'd like to hear Martin doing some straight stand-up comedy, you can go and see him live at his brand new solo show, which is Martin Moore Away Gallivanting, and that is at 8:20, and that is at the Stand Comedy Club 2, venue 5B. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Death of a Clown podcast. If you'd like to get in contact with Death of a Clown, you can go to our Twitter page, which is at Death Clown Pod. It's all one word. Thanks. Goodbye.